Would you like to accelerate your career and reach your full potential in just minutes a day? Welcome to the LeadX Show with New York Times bestselling author and Inc. 500 entrepreneur, Kevin Cruz.
What if everything you've been taught about time management was wrong? Hello, everyone. Kevin Cruz here, helping you to get 1% better 5 days a week. And today we're going to talk about extreme productivity. But first, I want to encourage you to subscribe to our newsletter at leadx.org. Each issue is packed with actionable tips you can try out right away to advance your career and to fulfill your potential. Visit leadx.org. Our guest today is a productivity strategist, writer, professional speaker. He's the author of several books, including The Front Nine and The Productivityist Playbook. He's also the host of the Productivityist podcast. He is Mike Vardy. Welcome, Mike.
Thanks for having me, Kevin.
Hey, thanks for coming on. My biggest fear was that I was going to stumble over productivityist, which I love the word, but it's hard for me to say.
It's definitely memorable once you get your tongue wrapped around it.
Good way to put it, Mike. So we're going to talk about your productivity methods, which I love. They're so unique in just a minute. But first, tell us about a time in your career when you failed as a leader. What did you learn from it?
It's interesting because when I failed for the first time as a leader, because there's been a few, but the one that really kind of comes to mind is when I was working for Costco and I was starting to work in both of these different departments at the warehouse that I was a manager at. And I basically was trying to manage both the service deli, which is where all the rotisserie chickens are made, and the hot dog stand, which is where all the hot dogs, you know, the famous $1.50 hot dog.
Yeah.
So I was in charge of both those areas. And I had only done the food court area, the hot dog area up to that point. And I had two different staffs and two different ways they're run. One is more of a preparation, planning. Hey, you have to have everything done far enough in advance, like on an assembly line kind of thing, where you've got longer shelf lives. And then you've got the impulse department, which is the hot dog stand, the food court. And my struggle was trying to where I dropped the ball was balancing between the two. And I was letting down either one department or the other at any given time. And I stepped back and what I learned was I couldn't be in two places at once, and I had to get better at being part of the team in that environment. I couldn't just step back and be a clipboard leader or a clipboard manager, really, because there's two very different things between being a manager and a leader. And so I had to step up and come up with some strategies that would allow me to be in the trenches with them so I could earn their respect back, because at that point, all I was a guy walking around very quickly between two opposite ends of a warehouse as opposed to being in the trenches with them. And I got to say, it didn't just help them once I started to do that. It helped me. It helped me in a number of ways. Number one, it brought me to the world of productivity because I had to start studying how to be in two different places at once, essentially. But also with the mindset of, okay, this is who I am when I'm back here, and this is who I am when I'm up here. But also it eventually helped me realize that that's ultimately what I didn't want to do with my life. I didn't want to be split between two different areas. I wanted to move on and do something different, and productivity is kind of where I am now. So if anything, that's the big takeaway is by diving in and getting into the trenches with my team, they respected me more, I respected myself more, and it led me down a new path, the path that I'm currently on.
That's a great journey. Often our struggles, our challenges, our failures, you know, they'll open up new doors. We're always learning one way or another.
Absolutely.
So, Mike, what are your thoughts on achieving work-life balance or the desire to have some sort of work-life balance? Any tips?
Well, one of the big things that I recommend when it comes to trying to balance, because work-life blend and integration is where a lot of people seem to be, and I think you need to have harmony between those things. As a guy who works from home, especially, I see that the fact that I'm sitting in my home right now and it's work time versus when work time is over, it's playtime or family time, is that you need to have some kind of harmony and some hybrid between your calendar and your to-do list. And for me, I think it's really important to do what I call time theming, which is saying, hey, you know what? How are you going to theme your days and your weeks and your months and even your year so that you can easily identify and let your brain easily identify what you should be doing at any given time. So that way your focus goes there, your intention, And then you're giving the attention that those things deserve. Once you start doing that, whether you're doing it, you know, by time of day or by day of week, and that's really the two basic ways you can do it, you could start to say, okay, where is my focus going? How do I dive into the details of this day? So that's a big thing for me is to say, how do I look at my time? How do I invest it in a way that's going to give my intentions the attention they deserve so I can move forward in the direction I want to instead of madly in all different directions?
Love that, Mike. And we're going to actually come back to the idea of theming in a minute because I do have some follow-up questions for you. But let's start with the big picture because your books, your podcast, your blog, they're filled with very unique ideas. I think a lot of people, they're just counter to what we've been traditionally taught. Now, we're actually recording this it's early January of 2017. I know the air date is going to be sometime later. But it's early January. A lot of people are coming off, setting New Year's resolutions, their annual goals. But you don't start your year in January, do you?
No. I start my year in September.
Why is that?
Well, there's a few reasons. One of them is almost an investment kind of idea, is that my kids are out of school in July and August. So to start my year and mirror their year after what they do makes a lot of sense, especially since I'm the stay-at-home dad. Martin Short, actually, the famous actor-comedian from my hometown, Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, which is where I'm from, he's done this ever since he was in school. He actually mirrored his year, and still does to this day, from the September to August cycle. Gretchen Rubin's doing it as well, the author of Happier at Home and The Happiness Project. But the other reason that I don't like to do this is – and I don't like to start my year in January, is that when January rolls around, we are at our lowest energy cycle of the year, whether it's through just the way the weather is or whether it's because, and I mean, as a Canadian, we have a longer stretch of this happening, but because our Thanksgiving is in October, we're really proactive about it. But November, you guys have Thanksgiving, and then you go right from Thanksgiving to the busy shopping season. Then you go right into the holiday season, you know, the different holidays that are in December. And then what happens is on December 26th, you're like, okay, five more days. What big thing are you going to do starting January 1st? And you're kind of propelled into this idea of I better do something major or massive starting January 1st, start a yoga habit, go to the gym, quit drinking, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And then January rolls around, you're at your lowest energy level, and that's when the expectation is to start doing these big, major, massive changes. And I just don't think that the cards are stacked in your favor when you do that based on energy levels, based on everyone else doing it at that time. You know, we all know that going to the gym on January 2nd, you're going to have a hard time getting a spot in the gym because everybody else is doing it. Come January 31st, you'll probably have a much easier time because New Year's resolutions, by and large, and there's studies that say they just don't work. So I don't like to follow the crowd when it comes to that. I like to mirror it around my kids' year. And having the summer to just kind of, you know, ease into the new year makes it a lot easier because when September rolls around, Labor Day, which is work day, I'm ready to work. I'm ready to go. And I've got my year planned out. And like we said, you know, as of this recording, I'm almost halfway done my year.
This has really fascinated me. You know, a lot of listeners know that I'm a productivity junkie. I really like studying it. And every December for 20 years, you know, I say to everyone half jokingly, I wish they would move the holidays or move the end of the calendar year to the middle of the summer because it's like a perfect storm. No matter what you do, you're either, you know, trying to hit your end of the year sales goals or your end of the year, you know, budget forecasts, or you're doing annual performance reviews always come at the end of the year at your corporate job, or your business planning, you know, creating your strategic plan for the following year, whatever it is, it's all hitting in November and December. And that's the exact time when we're also cleaning our house and shopping and hosting dinners or going to parties. And, you know, we're supposed to be enjoying ourselves at this holiday time. I'm a single dad with three kids, and, you know, it makes sense. Summers are when the kids are around, and I like to spend more time with them, and I have to do more caretaking with them as well. It's not all fun. So to kind of end the year, you know, through the summer and then kick off the year in September, I like that idea a lot. Listeners, don't feel that you're locked into January as your annual date to recommit or to relook at your goals. And I have a feeling I know the answer, Mike, but you're not so into those New Year's resolutions. You know, only 8% of people actually achieve them anyway. So what do you do instead of setting annual New Year's resolutions?
So the big thing for me is that, first off, January for me is a month I generally consider a month of reflection. So no big, massive projects are undertaken in January. But the big thing I do is I do what are called yearly words, my three words. And I got this practice from Chris Brogan, a well-respected author and a friend of mine. And I learned it actually not through him, but through a couple other people that were doing it. And I said, this makes a lot of sense to me. Instead of saying, you know, what big resolutions am I going to do? I look at these three words and I say, what words are going to embody my year? What words are going to be the kind of the waypoints or the measuring stick? So when I'm choosing the projects that I want to pursue, when I am deciding what conferences I'm going to attend, when I, you know, look at what is going to take my attention away from my intentions that I already have, or what things are going to fuel my intentions going forward, I can look at these three words. And if it doesn't hit two of those three words, if my goals, my projects, if any new idea, I just cast it aside. So this year, my words are redesign, rebuild, and reclaim. And it's funny because everything I do is both family-wise and work-wise are, you know, drawn and kind of established by those words. And it's nice to have that consistency throughout the year that you just have to think about these three words as opposed to, you know, some massive resolution or vision statement or mission statement, because it keeps me kind of sane. It keeps me on track, and it allows me to make a quick gut check and look back at the Mike Vardy who in August decided on those three words, as opposed to trusting what Mike Vardy in the moment might want to do. Because Mike Vardy in the moment sometimes isn't the smartest guy. Mike Vardy in the past was very wise and thought about it. But Mike Vardy in the moment's like, hold on a second. I really want to do this. This sounds really exciting. It's shiny and new. And, you know, I have to look at those three words and say, hold on. You know, wise and old, your elder Mike Vardy, your wise and old, the one who had more information in front of him at the time, he's saying, really look at these and evaluate these against these three pillars that you've put in place. And it really works for me.
I like that a lot. I have a love-hate relationship with goals and goal setting because, you know, I've used classic goal setting in the past and I've achieved a lot of things. But goal setting's so powerful, it can kind of skew you. And it's like until you've achieved it, you're a loser. You know, you feel bad that you haven't fulfilled your goal. And I think it was Peter Bregman, who's another leadership, you know, thinker, writer guy. He's been influenced by a lot of, I think, Eastern philosophy, sort of a Zen approach to achievement. And he once told me, instead of goals, just set directional areas. You know, are you just working in these areas that are important to you, you know, throughout the year? So, Mike, I like the idea, and I'm a big believer in, you know, fewer is better than more. I think people who set 10 goals or 10 focus areas, you know, that's a mistake. I like your three words. I'm going to, you know, have to adopt them to kind of keep my focus in the rest of the year ahead. So let's dive back into themes, which you had mentioned at the start of the show. You know, do you actually theme different parts of your day, or is it parts of the week?
I have basically four different types of themes that can happen. The yearly words are actually a theme when you think about it, because they essentially are themes for the year. But the great thing about theming is I can work backwards. So I can say, I'm going to figure out my daily theming first. So if somebody's new to this, they can figure out their daily themes and get through every day, or they can look at their months and theme through their months. And then there's another type of theming called horizontal theming, which is a lot like time chunking that you might have heard, where you say, okay, from 9 to 11, I'm going to do this. The difference between doing that versus doing time chunking is you want to be fairly consistent across the board. So for me, daily theming is a great place to start because it gives you an overarching focus for every single day. So I know that there's a lot of people that use their calendars as to-do lists. I don't do that. My calendar is kind of my guide for the day, whereas my to-do list offers the details of the day. So, for example, we're recording this on a Monday. Monday is my administrative day. This is not an administrative task that I'm doing. This is a meeting. So this meeting basically takes me away from my theme for the day. When we get off this call, I will not go, well, now what do I do? My question is always, what day is it today? The answer, very simply, administrative. Okay, well, what tasks are in the administrative vein? Oh, let me look at my to-do list and see what tasks I've labeled as admin. So it gives me a lot more flexibility. It's a framework, but it's a framework with flexibility. But it also allows me to quickly get back into action as opposed to, you know, with answering absolute questions with yes or no. What day is it? It's this day. This day means this. And so that's how I'm able to do it. With horizontal theming, which is going across. I have a horizontal theme for two different things. I have exercise, which is done in the afternoons based on the great book by Dr. Micah Bress called The Power of When, because I am a wolf or a night owl, so I'm best suited to work out later in the day. So I have that blocked off as time. And then I have my core writing time, which is between, honestly, it's between 10 p.m. and midnight is my core writing time 6 days a week, because again, being a wolf. So that is horizontally themed. And then I have the monthly themes, which again are what is going to have my focus for the month. So if I'm asking myself today, okay, well, I'm done this interview, what day is it? Oh, it's Monday. It's admin day. Well, what admin tasks should I do? Well, what's my monthly theme? Oh, my monthly theme is coaching. Okay, great. Let me look at all the admin tasks that are revolved around coaching. And it just narrows the to-do list down to a smaller and smaller funnel so you can make better decisions and be quicker about it, as opposed to getting lost in your to-do list or being overwhelmed by seeing every little thing scheduled in your calendar, and a slight deviation throws the whole game off.
Mike, I think these themes are powerful, both the horizontal and the dailies and the monthlies. For those of you who have corporate jobs, you might feel like, you know, I don't have complete control over my calendar. Well, you know, when I studied highly successful people, I see these themes coming up over and over again, even in the corporate world. You know, Steve Jobs was famous for doing, I think it was like Wednesday was marketing day. And, you know, just Mike, as you said, it's a framework. It doesn't mean it's the only thing he does, but if there's going to be marketing meetings, they all get grouped on Wednesdays. The marketing team knew that Steve Jobs was coming around every 7 days and is going to be following up on whatever you talked about the previous week. And I've written about Jack Dorsey, you know, was when he was asked how he could run two publicly traded companies at the same time, you know, he said it's daily themes. And I might not get this exactly right, but I think, you know, Mondays are for management meetings and he spends Tuesdays with product development. Wednesdays was marketing or something like that, you know, right on through the week. So as much as possible, have a theme for your days, you know, even if you don't control all of your time, you know, maybe Friday is administrative time or paperwork time, whatever it is. So Mike, before we wrap up, I like to challenge our listeners to get 1% better each and every day. What's something you want to challenge us to try out today?
Well, review is one of the things that often gets neglected when you're trying to be productive. You're so busy doing, you're not spending enough time reviewing. You're not looking back so that you can look forward. I'm going to challenge everybody to start journaling, to start keeping a daily log. And you can consider a journal and a diary a different thing. You can chronicle how you look at the tasks you complete throughout the day versus how you're feeling throughout the day as two separate things. I generally don't. I keep a journal every night before I wrap up my day. I write in my journal, and I normally have a photo that goes with it to kind of act as a trigger. But if you do journaling, if you create a daily log every day, and there's no shortage of tools that allow you to do this either by typing or even by voice to text, you can look back at the day that you've had, the weeks you had, even the year that you had. And I actually read my journal at the end of every year so I can see, hey, how far have I come? Did I deviate off course too far for where I wanted to go? You will get that percentage increase. You will get that improvement that Kevin's talking about, because you don't have to try to remember everything that you did. You're able to actually reflect on what you did and course correct far easier. So I would challenge everybody to grab an app like Day One for the Mac or Journey for Android, or even use a tool like Evernote or a good old fashioned handwritten notebook and start to journal today. And that way you've got something you can look back to so you can make sure you're moving forward in the direction that you want to go.
Love that challenge, Mike. Thanks for that. So how can our listeners find out more about you, your company, your books?
Well, you can head over to productivityist.com/leadx, and there's a whole bunch of resources there for you to check that out. And I'm also at Mike Vardy on the Twitter, so you can follow me there as well.
That's great, Mike. I appreciate the special link for that. All right, friends, you've just been mentored by Mike Vardy, a global expert on productivity. Check out his books on Amazon or your favorite bookstore. Get links and show notes from this interview over at leadx.org. And listeners, let me ask you for a favor. If you're getting your money's worth from this podcast, take 1 minute and just subscribe and leave a short review over on iTunes. One or two sentences is all it takes. And the more reviews a show gets on iTunes, the more likely it is that they are going to recommend it to other people. Until next time, remember, you don't need a title to be a leader. It's not about power or authority. Leadership is influence. How will you lead today?